Anyone have a song this morning? Been riding Darlene about singing, and she said she'd have one tonight for me. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 25. While you're turning, let me say a couple things in leading up and laying a little groundwork for the message. Friday, and of course, most of you know, a lot of times I don't bring ball games and stuff like that into the church. But Friday we went over to a place on the other side of Hazard, and we had 9 different games. We had the girls had 2 different teams of girls playing volleyball, had 3 games each, and the boys had 3 games of basketball. Now, those of you who've ever played hard basketball understands that 3 games is a lot of games to try to play in one day. And I was watching what little bit I got to see. Sometimes we were playing at the same time. I didn't get to see them, but I want to say I couldn't be more proud of our kids and that went and fought. We won several. We lost some. But even through the ones we lost and won, they fought hard. Some got injured and fought through the injury, and they showed the heart of a warrior to want to come in and play and still yet being hurt. And to see them to continue on, and I was very proud of them. They played really hard, and I was pleased with the way they played. So I know the boys are thinking, well, why'd you yell at us sometimes then? Well, the reason why is because sometimes I want you not to be weary and not to give up. The Bible says that we are not to give up if we, in well-doing, that we will reap if we faint not. And sometimes we get a little faint. Sometimes we don't give the effort that we can give. And sometimes we need things to spur us along. Patrick Henry, back at the beginning of this nation, when the English government was going to come down and threaten everybody who was wanting liberty, threaten them with death, he made the famous statement, "Give me liberty or give me death." At that time, they looked at the English government and the country, and they thought that there was no way that a group of just regular citizens could rise up and stand against a big, powerful country like England. But they chose to fight and give everything they had. And even though it looked like it was overwhelming odds against them winning, that's how America became a nation, because of that spirit of people. But there's even a greater battle than the battle for America. It has been brewing since the very beginning of mankind. It is a battle over evil. It is a battle with Satan and his forces. The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, even though sometimes we act like we're fighting with each other. But when you really look in the bottom of it, we're fighting against the devil and things of evil. It's an overwhelming. It does not look like any of us can overcome that. It looks like we are defeated. But yet we can overcome. And even though it looks like there's no way that we can overcome the overpowering presence of Satan and evil in this world, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that strengthened us. When you look, you have to realize that victory, we have victory. The word victory is supremacy or success over struggle. We have victory through Jesus. Sometimes we sing, I think it's a song that Brother Junior likes, "Victory in Jesus." We have victory. To overcome is part of what Christianity is. Jesus said in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that faith is what we have that overcomes the world. And so because of our faith, we overcome the world. We don't have victory. If you are saved, there are several things that you have victory in. And you need to understand that and realize that. So look, if you would, in the Bible, in Isaiah 25. This is talking to the nation of Israel. This is talking about when Christ and the Messiah comes and establishes his kingdom here. But we can take several things and apply to our life as well. And this morning, I want you to notice some things that we have victory over and understand that. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 25, beginning, if you would, in verse number 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. It shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we do have victory in Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I pray, help each of us who are saved to realize the victory that we have. Through our faith in Christ Jesus, we have already overcome the world. You tell the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, each of the churches, to them that overcometh, Lord, and you promise certain things when we overcome in the ages of that church that is represented. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be more than conquerors, that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'd go with us. Help us see a truth or two in this message, we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. What is it that we have victory in? You know, I thank God that when Jesus was up on the earth, he was able to heal the lepers. He was able to take a disease like leprosy and speak or touch whatever he felt like doing, and that leprosy left that person. It's amazing when you see he would come upon a deaf person and be able to allow them to hear. He would come upon a crippled and he would allow him to walk. He'd come upon a blind person, allow him to see. When you watch and you see all the things that he did, he'd come upon someone's sorrow and he would comfort them. All those things were great, but those things are not why we're here today. Those things, according to Isaiah 61, was to prove that he was the Messiah. They would see him, that he'd cause the blind to see. He'd heal the sick. He'd do all those things. Heal the brokenhearted. Amen. Those were signs to the Jews that the Messiah had arrived. The reason why we're here today is not because he worked those miracles in those people's lives. The reason why we're here today on Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is because he resurrected from the dead on the first day of the week. We are Christians because of his resurrection. The victory that we have is because of his resurrection. And so this morning, I want you to understand, look back if you would in chapter 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up what? Death and what? We have victory over death. Now listen to me this morning, and I know this is very simple. But death is universal. Everybody here is going to die. The Bible said this appointed man wants to die, and after this judgment, you will die. People have tried and went to every extreme to think that they could preserve their life and keep from dying. And yet, every one of them's died. And so this morning, I want you to understand that we can have victory in death. We don't have to fear death like everybody else fears death. Because Jesus conquered death. Look with you, keep your finger there in Isaiah, just and go to with me a couple places. Look with me, if you would, in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus says this about himself. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 17, and when I saw him, that's John talking about seeing Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and of death. In other words, we don't have to fear to live. We don't have to fear to die. And we don't have to fear what comes after death because of what Jesus has done. He has conquered death. He has the keys to death. He has all control. Hell can't get you if Jesus has got you, because he has control. He has the keys. Look, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, notice what the Bible says about Jesus. In verse 14, says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus come and took a body like ours, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is who? Aren't you glad that Jesus come to conquer death and conquer the devil? Amen. Look in verse 15. And deliver what? Them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, we don't have to be afraid of dying no more. We don't have to worry about what death's going to happen. Sometimes people say, Preacher, I don't know how I'm going to die. There's not a person in here who knows how you're going to die. And everybody here, we don't know when we're going to die. One of the girls that we picked up this morning, I believe it's you, wasn't it? Told me that your uncle had died in Macquarie County, 54-year-old, in his sleep. He had a heart attack and died, 54-year-old. I said, well, that was awful young for someone to die. No one around him knew. It kind of come as a surprise. No one knew that that was going to happen. And see, death, we don't know when death's going to come. But I'm thankful that I have victory over death. Because I am saved, I don't have to fear death. David said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. On down in verse 4 he says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Bible says, and we have the promises of God, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so therefore, we, just like the nation of Israel, the promises of God is this, we don't have to fear death. We have victory over death if we are saved. Now, if you're not saved, Jesus tells us exactly what's going to take place in your life. The moment that you die, your body will remain here, your soul will be in hell, and in hell you'll lift your eyes up being in torment. All you have to do is go to Luke chapter 16 to find that out. And when you are in torments, there will be pain and suffering and so forth. At a later date, you will be brought together to have a body once again, and that body will endure the presence of eternal flames in hell and the lake of fire. And you will forever endure that. That will be what happens if you die in your sins. Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where I go. And so therefore, Jesus came that you might have life. Amen. And you might have more abundantly. And he promises that whosoever will believe upon him, that they shall have eternal life. In other words, he promises that you will live on and you will never die. And so therefore, we have victory in death. As a matter of fact, after the New Testament, you find that when God, the Bible speaks of Christians dying, it doesn't speak of them dying, it speaks of them falling asleep. Stephen, when they stoned him, fell asleep. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those that sleep in the Lord. And so there again, several times we're reminded that we as Christians, we sleep. Our bodies sleep in the grave, and the Bible says that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we're present with the Lord, we know that we are actively present. We're not asleep. And because the Bible pictures some souls in heaven and what's going on there in chapter 6 of Revelation. And so we know that we are not asleep there. Our body sleeps. And so, therefore, folks, what we have to realize is this, and when David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's all death is to us. It's a shadow. The moment we die, and of course, a shadow comes from light. And the moment we die, we enter into eternal light. Amen? I never see darkness again. And so, therefore, we are conquerors of death because he is conquerors of death. And therefore, those of us who believe in him shall never die but have everlasting life. Amen. And so I'm so glad that we have victory in death. Can you imagine what it'd be like if we that are saved had to live every day of our life wondering what would happen if we die? Can you imagine how miserable we'd be? As Paul said, we among all people would be most miserable. The reason why we serve God and live for God and so forth is because of the goodness and the promises we have. I'm glad I know in whom I have believed. Now I'm glad I am persuaded that he's able to do that which he's committed to me against that day. Amen? And so when that day comes, I don't know where it's going to be. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be years from now. I don't know when that day's going to come. But I am fully persuaded that when it's my time to die, and he takes me, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. And so therefore I can lay my head on my bed at night and go to sleep and have a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. I don't have to fear death no more because of victory in Jesus. Amen. Not only that, but look on. The Bible also says there in verse number 8, chapter 25, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away what? All tears from off their faces. Listen, tears are going to come. We're going to have tears. There's going to be a lot of things that breaks our heart. A lot of things that we have that just tears our hearts apart. Some of you don't understand. Some of you kids don't understand yet. I didn't understand this for a while either. I didn't understand how much a parent love a child. I didn't understand how much parents would love grandchildren. And how much that you pulled on their heart. Used to when mom and dad said, listen, this will hurt me worse than it hurts you. I thought, there ain't no way. But now I understand. It's a whole different hurt. But thank God I have victory. One of these days, these old eyes will never shed another tear. One of these days, because of his victory, I shall never have another cry. The Bible said there's coming a time in Revelation chapter 21 when he shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then after that point in time, there'll be no more tears in heaven. Thank God for that. Can you imagine a time, Linda, you was talking about crying and having tears for you. Can you imagine a time when no more tears? We have that promise because of victory in Jesus. What a day that will be when we'll see his face, the one who saved us by his grace. Amen. Know that. Notice as well in the verse number 8. The Bible says the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. In other words, he's talking about Israel and the trials and all the things that will come upon Israel. They've had to go through all kinds of trials, and one of these days God's going to take them out of the trials. Job said, we're born of a woman and our days are full of trouble. We are going to have troubles and trials. In this world ye shall have tribulation. Somebody say, oh, preacher, I don't understand why God puts us through trials. Every individual, we have trials. But one of these days, our trials are going to be over. You know the wonderful thing about our trials? For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and all called according to his purpose. You know the amazing thing about God is this. She was talking about praying. Now listen to me, you parents. And you parents that's got young children, let me tell you something. She was talking about neglecting some things in praying. Some people sometimes ask me, they say, why do we pray? God knows all things. Yes, he knows all things. But he also says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right. What happens is this. God commands us to pray. He says, pray without ceasing. He said, I would that all men pray and not faint. And so what he does is he commands us to pray. Why does he want us to pray if he knows all things? Because he gets glory when we pray to him. You see, what God does is when we pray, we treat God as God. When we pray in the right way. Now, some people think that God is idea of some type of genie in a bottle. The only time you want to rub him, his bottle, is when you need something. God is offended when that's the only time that you come. And so therefore, what you need to understand is that God wants you to pray because praying to him gives him glory as God. And so you ask him to intercede in some things in your life. And you know, the thing is that God sometimes, somebody say, my son's lost and God won't make him be saved. But I'll tell you this, you know, Merle gave the testimony the other day when they came to join the church. He gave the testimony how that how he resisted the things of God. He resisted the church and he had his feelings and so forth toward the church was not what they ought to be. But then he didn't know how many times we pray. And somebody said, well, does that make a difference? Through the prayers, the Holy Ghost conviction got greater. Had we not prayed, I don't know that he'd be sitting there. My point is, prayer makes a difference. And so therefore, what we do is this. We know that when we're going through these trials, that all things work together for them that love the Lord. And even though we know that God knows all things, when we pray, sometimes God intercedes and it makes a difference. Isaiah told Hezekiah, he said, set your house in order, for thou shalt surely die. And Hezekiah, he fell and he looked toward the wall and he prayed unto God. And God sent Isaiah back and said, I'm going to extend your years 15 years. And gave him 15 more years. Otherwise, he would have died. Had Hezekiah not prayed, he would have died. Just like God said he would. And so prayer intercedes on things. But we still have this promise. In regards to what trials we go through, we know that God is permitting them to happen in our life, and we know that even sometimes we have self-inflicted storms. You know what self-inflicted storm is? Storms that we bring on ourselves because of our own sin. You say, do you ever have those? I've got many of them. I'd hate to begin to name. And there's times when I've gotten angry at something my children have done. And the Holy Ghost of God has cut my heart and said, the sins of the fathers is being visited upon you. And he's reminded me that those were sins and storms that was self-inflicted that I chose when I knew to do good and did it not. To me it was sin. And when I did it, I knew that there was consequences for my actions. And yet I went ahead and done it. And so whenever I got angry, and I got angry at them, then all of a sudden God whipped me and said, listen, you're reaping what you sowed. And it humbled me. And it took away my anger. And now my anger was at me, not at them. But thank God, one of these days, I'm going to have victory over my trials. God told Israel here, he said, one of these days, They're not going to be mean to the Jews. One of these days, they're going to quit mouthing about the Jews. You can tell when the spirit of Antichrist is strong. Everybody hates the Jews. As a matter of fact, it's amazing to me, this administration that we've lived in right here has done more damage to the relationship between us and Israel than any administration I've ever known. But it's because the days are drawing nigh, my friend. We're seeing it drawing nigh. And Israel is being left out there to defend for herself. Because the persecution, as the spirit of Antichrist will grow, the persecution of Israel will increase. But thank God one of these days, that persecution will be over with. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to us in the church in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And he said this. I like the way he said it. He said, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Amen. So therefore, and notice if you would in verse 9, "And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." So listen, folks, we're just waiting. The church is told to wait. To look and wait. We're waiting, but thank God, even while we're waiting, we don't have to worry. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, this old world's unstable." It sure is. "I don't know what this world's coming to." Well, I do. I've read the book. But you know what? I don't have to fear. You know why? I was talking to Stuart. They're taking away his job here soon. I was talking to Stuart about that this morning. But you know what? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He tells us again, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Jesus told us this in Matthew chapter 6. "Then all these other things will be added to you." I believe this. I believe this from the depths of my heart. If I try to serve God here, I believe everything that I need, I emphasize and underline the word need, God will make a way for me to have it. I've seen that time and time again. There was a time when me and Chris, we lived. I mean, we literally lived from week to week. And I mean, at the end of the week, we had nothing hardly. And whenever we would do something, and sometimes missionaries would come through, and the Lord lay something on my heart, I'd look at her, I'd say, "What we got in our checkbook?" She'd tell me, I said, "Write a check for it." She said, "But we got bills." I said, "Write a check for it." I said, "God laid it upon my heart to give that missionary that thing." Time and time again, we did that, didn't we, Chris? And what happened? Every single time, God provided it. I'm not talking about one. I mean every single time, the very next day, just about it. She called me and she'd be crying. She said, "One time we got a refund from an insurance. We wrote a check for a missionary, $75. And we got a refund the very next day from an insurance company for $76.23 or something like that. That something that happened 5 years before that." Polly's sitting back there. I told Chris one day, we had someone come through. I said, how much we got? She said, we got $106 as a write check. She said, but we got a bill tomorrow. I said, God's laid upon my heart, give everything I had to this missionary. So she wrote it. Polly, I hadn't seen her for probably 10 years. And she called me. I was at the EMS station that day, and she called me and she said, can I come and talk to you? I said, yeah. She had something on her mind. She come, she talked to me. And before she got ready to leave, she said, here, said, I was cleaning off my cabinets. And said, I looked in the cookie jar, and there was $107 in there, and God told me to bring it and give it to you. Remember that, Polly? You don't know how much we appreciated that. And we used that money to pay the bill that we owed. And God just reinserted that as long as I serve Him, my needs will be met here upon this earth. Sometimes we get our wants confused with our needs. But God's been awful good, and He's met all my needs. So even though I'm waiting on Him, and I've got victory in all my trials and all my tears, and I've got victory in death, even while I'm waiting, I can rejoice in the Lord, because I still have victory in Jesus. I don't have to worry about what's coming in this old life. I don't have to worry about who gets it for president. I'm not going to end my life because of who gets it. Because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to get all hysterical and take my life because who gets on Supreme Court. Now, I have my preferences. But my hope is not in America. My hope is in Jesus. And I'm waiting, and I don't know what's going to come in this old land. But I know what I'm waiting for. And while I'm waiting, I know this. That it will all be fine with me. Because I have victory in Jesus. I might have to suffer some things. I might have to go through things. But the suffering of this present time will be little compared to what God has waiting for me. Amen. And so when we see Him, we're going to say, as Israel said, he said, listen, they're waiting on God. They're going to say this. They are waiting for Him. And when they see Him, they're going to say, this is my God. This is my Lord. This is the one that saved me, that brought me through and eternally saved me and brought me out of all the things. And look here. Even right now, somebody said, well, preacher, how do you know you're going to be saved in a month from now just because you're saved from now? Because this, when, and I'm going to close with this statement, when He saved me, God saved me three ways from three things. You get this? Now mark this down if you don't know, and many of you heard this before. He saves you from the power of sin by justifying you because of His Son. The hardest thing for us to understand is this. Steve, the hardest thing to understand about salvation is the moment that you believed in Jesus, His blood was applied to you. Amen. You were sealed until the day of redemption. And every time God looks at you, He looks at the blood. And when He sees the blood, you are justified in His eyes from the power of sin. The power of sin would have took you to hell and would have allowed you to paid eternal debt that the devil and his angels will pay. But yet, because of His blood, you will be saved. You were saved the moment that you trusted in Christ from the power of sin. Or from penalty of sin, I should say, not the power, the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is this. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. In other words, He took death away from you the moment you were saved. No longer are you under that penalty. I will not die. I will fall asleep. I will be present with the Lord. I know that. Then when I live here, as long as I walk, I used to go, and I went, I know Julie and I have talked about this, and I've had others that disagree, and I was talking about someone that was all caught up on meth and so forth this morning, but I went to AA meetings, And I went and they didn't like me there. Because what they do is they sit around, and even those who claim to be saved, they sit around, they talk about how they are, hello, my name is Billy, I am an alcoholic. And I told them, I sit there at the table and I listened as each one went around to introduce herself. It come to me. I said, I am Billy. I said, by the grace of God, I was saved. And because of my salvation, now I have power over every sin that is ever entering my body. Any sin that I will face, I have the power to overcome that sin. I do not have to be a sinner. I do not have to be an alcoholic. I do not have to be a drug addict all my life. Because of his blood, he saved me from that. And they suggested that I not come back. And sent me word that maybe it'd be best if I didn't come back. And they want to become, they want to stay an alcoholic all their life. But I am saved from the power of sin. I can overcome anything in my life. Amen. Some people say, well, I've got this problem. I can't get beyond it. We can. If you're saved, you can do all things through Christ that overcome that strengthens you. You are an overcomer. We can overcome anything. I could have each of you stand up and y'all could tell me something in your life that you used to be a slave to that now I thank God because of his the ability of the Holy Spirit of God, you have overcome that thing. And last but not least, when I got saved, I not only was saved from the penalty by justification, the power because of sanctification while we walk here on this earth, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin. Now think about this, folks. You want something to shout about. Never seeing a sin and experiencing a sin forever. Imagine that. No more sin throughout eternity. All what shouting we'll be doing up there. But folks, we ought to do a little shouting down here. Because it's as good as ours. Because we have victory in Jesus. Amen. Let's stand in that this morning. Let me ask you this question. Do you have victory in Jesus? Have you experienced the victory that God gives you? If not, you're missing out on the greatest gift that mankind has been offered in this world. It's so good to know that we have that victory. That we do not have to fear what man may do to us. We don't have to fear what's going on. We just need to trust God. And through trusting God, we can have perfect peace. Because we trust in him. How about this morning? Maybe you need to come. And today God's dealing your heart about being saved. And you need to come, get saved. You know if you were to die right now, you'd be lost. And in hell you open your eyes. And today God's dealing your heart. Why don't you step out and come? Would you do that?